The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you love the action in sports from the NBA to NHL and now Major League Football playoffs, or if you're ready to get into movies and televisions with the Oscars and the Golden Globes, BetOnline.ag has something for everyone. Create a free account. Just go to BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. So, John Jones gets a win over Gustafson, does some interviews that night, and said, I want to stay busy, I want to fight three times in 2019. Well, that was kind of refreshing, right? That was refreshing just because John can be a real brat sometimes. Anytime John is in what he deems a position of power, such as having the world championship, he gets very picky on who he's going to fight and who he's going to allow to fight him. He used to be one of these guys that liked to use the word deserve. Well, he doesn't deserve it. While everybody else has to just sit at home and roll their eyes and go, what's deserve got to do with it? I mean, what's deserve got to do with anything? You failed 1,000 drug tests. Do you really want to play the deserve game? So fortunately, we didn't have to deal with that on this one. And fortunately, not only did he accept the fight, he accepted a fight with the number one contender, Anthony Smith. I love that fight for a number of reasons. Now, you can think that Anthony's going to get cleaned up, and you can think that Anthony's the guy to beat John. Before we ever get into any of the analytics and the breakdown, let's just look at the fact that the sport has to have a level of integrity. And if you are doing rankings, at times you must defer to those rankings. Not what a big fight is, not where the money fight is, not where the personal grudge is. Every now and then, you've got to just look to the rankings. That's what was done here. That is what is best for the sport. That is what keeps the morale high amongst your locker rooms, amongst the athletes themselves. They like to see the right guy who's beat the right people and climbed the appropriate spots be given his opportunity. And that, for sure, was Anthony Smith. So, okay, great. I think you do have a little bit bigger talking point here, which is, can John Jones get a license in Nevada? Now, generally, in a situation like this, those phone calls would have already been made. Those lunch meetings would have already taken place. I understand all of those things. The only reason I find it appropriate to bring up is because, guys, less than 2 weeks ago, Nevada had a John Jones fight, and they kicked it. They kicked it on 5 days' notice and said, hey, we're not putting this thing on. The reason they kicked it is because John had an irregularity in his drug test. That irregularity in said drug test is still relevant. It's still there. It didn't go away. That never got corrected. That never got erased. That just got interpreted by another commission known as California that said, look, we get this, we understand this, and we are okay with this. But Nevada said no. Nevada put out a story of, look, we were just too busy. We couldn't get commissioners. I heard the whole cover story. Don't have the foggiest idea if that's what happened or not. Don't need to know. It's not my business. My business is just purely the answer. Can he get a license and fight, or can't he? And they gave us the answer. So no matter how busy they were or how many commissioners were out of town, they were still able to conduct business of a heads up, heads down, and it was down. which would just make you wonder why. So it was attempted to be explained to Nevada at the time that this is a residue from a previous test, which it is. That is accurate. He has not re-ingested. But Nevada is an all-or-nothing state. They do not care about the time of ingestion, according to Nevada. They don't care about a nanogram or a picogram or anything else. They want to know, is it in your system when you step into the cage in our state in a bout that we are sanctioning? Yes or no? Which would bring me back to my initial question of what has changed. I don't have the answer to that, but I do think that it still is up in the air for can he get a license. If something is to have changed, I would assume experts were able to go in, explain what it is, and Nevada was able to sigh a deep breath of relief and say, okay, we're now comfortable with this. But either way, it's still a talking point. It's still something to bring up, and there'll still be some speculation, and there still has to be a hearing. And they got a lot of hearings coming up right now. I mean, one of my favorite battles in all of MMA that's going to be taking place is the tag team match between Conor McGregor, his tag team partner, Khabib Nurmagomedov, versus the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What happens to Khabib is largely going to happen to Conor, and vice versa. They got to team up on this thing, and so far they've been in unison. One asked to kick the can for that hearing, the other one asked to kick the can for the hearing. Well, of course, they're partners. So now you're going to add John Jones to the docket. I don't think, I'll tell you now, I don't think there's a big smokescreen here. I don't think there's a whole lot to see. I think they will be able to bring this in and to explain this and to be able to move on. But if I was to tell you in fairness 2 weeks ago, that's the same spot that I thought we were in, and they didn't. They kicked it. They said no license. They said we need more time. Let's hope that that fight does happen and happens within that jurisdiction. I think that Nevada is a very appropriate place to lock up Anthony Smith and John Jones and let those guys figure out their business. You know, as you move on in the sport, we're right on the cusp of something great. TJ Dillashaw versus Henry Cejudo, which has also turned into a lot of fun. I like the back and forth between these guys. I like that TJ Dillashaw keeps continually having to be the bad guy. It's very fun for me. I don't think he plays it very well. TJ's just a little bit too matter of fact. But there is something about him being the underdog, and there is something about when people do not think that he can win, that he does go out there and perform. And for me, I am more interested in that fight for one aspect of the fight. I believe I can accurately present for you today that Henry Cejudo is the best amateur wrestler in the sport. But I also believe I could accurately represent to you that TJ Dillashaw is the best MMA wrestler in the sport. For me, as a fan, I'm not as interested in who's going to win that fight. I am interested for those guys to lock up and to see who can start to control some of those positions. For me, I realize that isn't going to be the biggest sell for you. I'm just curious, physically speaking, what's going to happen with some of those moves. If Henry gets in, he is likely to finish. TJ Dillashaw is a master of the setup. Master of setting guys up before he changes elevation and looks to close the distance and turn that into a wrestling match. That's the part that I want to see. Right around the corner, we got the final of the World Grand Prix. Fedor versus Bader. Somebody asked me who was going to win that fight. I don't know. They both suck. It's really hard to say. You get these two terrible fighters that have made it to the finals against each other by hook or crook, but there they are. I am excited to see the match, though, and I do think the longer the match goes, the more it's going to favor Ryan Bader. And I think the first few minutes is going to be very good for Emelianenko. My final analysis, one of them will leave with the world champion, and both of them will be terrible. You like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance. Well, if that revs your engine, then get ready for this because you can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. Speaking of world championship fights, Kamaru Usman was just announced that he was going to be fighting Tyron Woodley. Okay, fine. I'm probably speaking for all of us when I give you my response of, okay, fine. The reason is you've got so many guys that have the rightful claim. For me, it was Colby Covington. For me, it was Colby Covington because he has the interim championship. I have been stunned at how quickly and how willing people are to rewind history and just erase that fact from their memory. I'm not erasing it. I saw it. I watched it happen. Colby Covington won the world championship. He never lost that championship. He was never given the opportunity to defend that championship. So why Colby is not in there is something I would like an answer to. On the other side of the coin, I am more than willing to tell you that, yes, Kamaru Usman can fight for the strap any day with nobody complaining. He's never lost. I think his record's like 16-0. If I'm wrong, it's 15-0. I think it's 16-0. He's beat all the right guys. The bad news is all the right guys that he beat, Colby also beat, and Colby beat him first. And Colby was the interim champion. So that leaves me to believe and conclude there is some piece of drama here that we have yet to have revealed to us. Was Colby offered the fight and turned it down? Speculation would say something along those lines could have happened. We have seen guys get passed over when they're offered the opportunity and they don't take it. That hasn't been made public to us, though. Did Kamar play his cards right? Did Tyron Woodley step in and say, I want this guy, I don't want that guy? I have the foggiest idea. I just know there is some piece of this story that hasn't yet been revealed to us. There was even, guys, I can remember as recently as about 2 weeks ago, Dana White had come out and said, Kamar is going to fight for the world title, and soon. And I don't know who his opponent's going to be. It might not be Woodley. We're all going, wait a minute, how do you fight for the world championship with the world champion isn't present? But they were so frustrated with that division, it sounds like there was enough blame to go around. I mean, I don't know that there was any hero to this story. But there does appear to be a victim, which appears to be Colby Covington, an interim world champion who is not going to be fighting for the world championship. And if I was told that, yes, but he's going to be the number one contender and will take on the winner, that would be a piece of information that I don't have at the time I come to talk to you guys. And that would make me feel better and that would make me shut up. But I am still, I would just love to know. I would love to be able to tell for you guys, how did we get to Kamar and Woodley? And I don't resist, even in this analysis, that we're here. You get the reigning world champion against a guy who's never been beat. I don't resist the match. I'm just wondering why the interim champ isn't in there, particularly when I saw him in the media as recently as 2 days ago saying that he wanted to be in there. So I'd like to get some answers, but I also think that it does, it opens up some parity. It opens up some offerings here. Okay, Ben Askren has got to get done with Robbie Lawler, and we got to see how that outcome plays. Ben Askren, even if he looks great in that fight and wants to become the number one contender, if Tyron Woodley is the sitting champion, is not going to take that fight, so where does he go? There was some talk of Darren Till. I don't think there will be talk of Kamaru Usman if Usman loses to Woodley. I think that you would then have to bring in a fresh, strong, meaningful contender face, which would be Colby Covington. So perhaps that's how we see that division play out. But these very early fights, these fights that are all being announced, I think it's for UFC 232. Nick, is that right? Is it 232? All these fights got announced, Jones and 235. I think that the storylines for the balance of 2019 for those divisions are largely going to be played off of that. I'll tell you this, too. I think that the fact that John Jones is going to be fighting with Lionheart, Anthony Smith, is also very telling that we're probably going to get Brock Lesnar back. There seemed to be so much fire around Brock Lesnar. I bought it. Brock showed up. He pushed Daniel halfway across the ring. He cut a promo on the whole division. He took less of a schedule in WWE, and he jumped into the USADA pool. I bought it. In the meanwhile, they quit talking about Brock Lesnar. He started to take a more busy schedule with the WWE, but he stayed in the USADA testing pool. So we didn't quite have enough evidence to exclude Brock from contention. The other piece of this, the elephant in the room, is the fight that everybody wants to see is Daniel Cormier versus Jon Jones at heavyweight, which just doesn't appear to be in the cards if we take Daniel at his word that his expiration date and his retirement from this sport is his 40th birthday, which is March 6th. The reason is I believe this UFC 235 is like March 2nd. So even if Jones goes in and has a great fight, whatever happens with him and Anthony Smith happens, and then he wants to start to work Daniel into the mix, I don't believe that Jones would cut weight to 205 pounds as late as March for a quick early summer return against Daniel, but to do it at heavyweight. That's the other piece to this puzzle. If you're going to get those two guys to fight, the very first thing you have to agree on is the weight. Getting John to agree to heavyweight is probably not going to be simple to do, but possible. Getting Daniel to agree to light heavyweight is probably not going to be easy to do, but possible. I would then have to push back and say getting John to make heavyweight, make the limit, no problem. Getting Daniel to make the limit, problem, big problem. He spent a year now in that weight class. He has spent a year, and I'm talking about if we're going to March 2nd. We're going to UFC 235, which is March 2nd. That will be the 12-month date where Daniel has not been at 205 pounds. We don't get better with time. And another thing that we don't get as human beings is smaller with time. We gain weight. So I think that you've got some real moving parts there. And I think that the Anthony Smith versus John Jones matchmaking placement also tells you at least a clue in the direction if you wanted to hedge a bet. Nothing written in stone, but perhaps a foreshadowing to the return of Brock Lesnar. If there's five fights that I want to see in 2019, that's one of them. Frankly, Bader versus Fedor, even though I pissed all over it a minute ago, I want to see that fight too. I do want to see that fight. But I do want to see the return of Brock Lesnar. I just think there's something very special there. I think when you've also got, I think that was the biggest fight that Daniel could have had. Now all of a sudden you've got John Jones back. Anytime John Jones is fighting, we just assume he's going to win like it's a foregone conclusion. We should stop doing that. That is extremely disrespectful to our true, earned his way there. Took out world champions along the way. Took out the former number one contender along the way, Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith deserves his opportunity to go out there and compete and fight with John Jones. But John is a very rare talent. And he's also got a lot of heat with a lot of other people. And it is very hard to talk about John Jones and just keep a focus on what's next, which in this case is Anthony Smith. It's very hard to not speculate, will he and DC be crossing paths? To speculate, if Lesnar's got a one-off, will it be Lesnar versus Jones? I don't agree with that. I don't think that there's any momentum blowing in that direction, but I keep seeing the headlines, so I'm addressing it. And in the world of fun fights, I see that Aspen Ladd is going to be taking on Holly Holm. I really like that match. I like it for a couple of reasons. One, boom, it catapults Holly right to the front of everybody's face. Holly Holm is the number one contender in two different divisions, any way you want to look at it. And if you go look at her record and say, well, how do you get to that? Go look at her record a little bit closer. Hardest schedule of anybody in the last 24 months. Won some and lost some. Still top contender at two different weights. I think that Aspen Ladd might be one of those rare talents that is just not discovered. True test for her in front of Holly Holm. But when you want to talk about what's next for the women's division, specifically Amanda, I think you got to really look at that fight. And if it goes to Aspen Ladd, if she can pull the upset over Holly Holm, I don't think we have anything to talk about. I think we just go ahead and go, okay. It's Aspen Ladd versus Amanda Nunes. And then we even have time to go look forward to it. That's a really good match. Some of you guys aren't going to know who Aspen Ladd is. She kind of made a quick splash. And it wasn't in front of a lot of different eyeballs. I happen to be watching. So if you guys do know, I know you're on board with me. If you don't know, then you heard it here first. But that's going to be a good one.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
The fight for the football postseason is underway, and the sports betting expert RJ Bell is wired into the big game.
I feel good about it, and thank you so much for all the support. It really means a lot.
Tune in to hear the best analysis and play-by-plays before RJ heads to Atlanta for the final showdown.
Jibber-jabber all you want, as long as you're one of the best guys out there. Whoop, deal with it. And then when you're not, bye-bye.
Download RJ Bell's Dream Preview every week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the new year and the greatest time of year for football. If you are an NFL fan, as we've been saying for months, there's only one place to get in on all the action, betonline.ag. Visit betonline.ag today and receive a 50% bonus. Yes, 50% sign-up bonus when using the promo code PODCAST1. Then get hip to the AFC and NFC divisional round matchups taking place. Rams, Saints, Patriots, and Chiefs all hosting. You don't want to miss any of these four games that are going to be played this Saturday and Sunday. Go online or use your mobile phone to sign up today. Don't forget to try in-game live betting, where you can participate with all the action of every play. Remember, when signing up, use the promo code PODCAST1, that's PODCAST O-N-E, to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Now, back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, I've had it in the world of MMA. I am ready to move on. So, I had an interesting week. My little maniac does not ask me to do anything with him yet. He's 3 and a half. He's just not at the point where he'll say, "Hey, Dad, you know, take me fishing. Hey, Dad, let's go camping." So he had his first ask a week ago, which was, "Hey, Dad, build me a snowman." Okay, great. No problem. But where am I going to get the snow? How am I going to go and build a snowman? Well, we have a mountain here in Oregon called Mount Hood. So I called up to Mount Hood and said, "Hey, you guys got any snow?" She said, "Matter of fact, it's snowing right now." I said, "Great, do you have a room?" She said, "I do." I said, "Reserve it for me. I'll be there in 2 hours." So we ran up to Mount Hood. There was all sorts of stuff to do. We sledded at night. We played in some big plaything with slides in the daytime. And then finally, we built a snowman. So by that point, Grandpa was there to help me stack up the snowballs. But we build the snowman, and I ask my little guy, "What is the snowman's name?" Of which, of course, the name would be Frosty. No, not so fast. Not Frosty. Frosty's out, apparently. It was named like Elton. Olaf. You guys know anything about this? Is it Olaf? Olaf, from a movie Frozen. Okay, well, apparently, Olaf is the new snowman in town, not Frosty. He didn't even know who I was talking about. The same way as I was looking at him when he was saying Olaf, I'm going, "The hell's Olaf?" That's how he was looking at me when I was insisting it was Frosty. So we built this great snowman, and I mean, we had the eyes and ears, nose and mouth, arms, the buttons going up, everything. We did everything right on the snowman. And when it was time to leave, when our time at the mountain was done, this part I don't know how to interpret, but we needed to knock the snowman down. I can remember being a little kid. I would look out my window every day to make sure that snowman was still there, even if it was diminishing. Even if all the snow on the driveway was gone and the grass and it had fallen off the trees, you could still see that little bit of snow in a ball. I used to ask my mom even if I could see that snowman, "Do we have school today?" And she would go, "Of course you have school. There's no snow." And I'm like, "No, there is snow. It's right there. Look at Frosty. There's still balls of snow. We should let the district know about this." She's like, "No, you got to go to school. That's not how snow works." But that was a big deal to me that the snowman stuck around for as long as he would stick around. My son insisted upon, "Is it Olaf? Is that what he said?" That we knock Olaf down. So I'm pulling away. The car is loaded up. We're pulling away. I have to stop the car, put his gloves on, and we got to go knock Olaf down. Not only knock him down, he needed to kick Olaf in the head. So I had to pick him up off the ground so he could bash his feet into Olaf's head until he fell to the ground. I don't know how to interpret that. I'm choosing that that's a very cute and funny thing, although a little irregular. I could be wrong. That might be a really weird thing to do. But either way, we built Olaf and we took Olaf down. That was my weekend. I also caught a movie. Did you guys see, was it called the Golden Globes? Is it the Oscars? Okay, you know that. We're a bunch of elitist pricks that aren't really all that talented, but they land these things called roles, and then they read words that somebody else wrote for them, and then they get a really big paycheck at the end of it, and then they get to become famous off of it. But as a way of convincing themselves that they've contributed to society, even though all they did was get lucky, they then even hold an award show where they then nominate their little elitist buddies to give a little elitist speech while all the rest of the minions sit around and I guess you clap for them. I don't know what you do. I just look at these guys and go, what a bunch of lucky pricks. What was it called? The Golden Globes. Okay, so a Golden Globe was won by this jobber who played Dick Cheney. He also played Batman. Do you know Christian Bale? Christian Bale won an award. And he thanked Satan. You know, most people thank God. I want to thank God for it. He thanked Satan for helping to channel his abilities to portray Vice President Dick Cheney. The problem I had with that, I mean, first off, that's very mean. Not for nothing. That's very mean. The problem I had is I saw that movie. And even if he tried to make Dick Cheney look like a horse's ass, he failed miserably. I mean, he played a great Dick Cheney. I understand why you would give him an award. He played it amazing. And Cheney is a very uncharismatic character. He's a very blunt, matter-of-fact guy. But one of the things that they tried to do in the movie to embarrass Cheney was show what a hard worker he was. And the point I'm talking about is the vice president is really a symbolical role. You don't have a whole lot that you do. You don't run a major office or help with policy and agenda. When Cheney accepted the role, he said, hey, I want to be different. I don't want to just, you know, go to wine and cheese and tea and scones with other aristocrats. I want to pitch in and help. So the president, George Bush, goes, all right, what do you want to do? And Cheney had a list of things he wanted to do. And Bush goes, cool, I like it. Let's do it. So Cheney got up every day and worked his ass off. He had offices in three different buildings, and he had teams around him, and he helped to influence. And you can always argue whether you like that influence or not, but to make fun of a guy for wanting to work, who has a job, who collects a paycheck for that, and you think that you're going to tease him, well, no, not so fast. That's a pretty cool thing that he did. You had a guy who could have just slid, put on a nice suit and ridden in the bulletproof limousine. Instead, he said, no, I want to get my hands in it. I want to work. So I didn't really understand. I thought that Christian Bale failed in his goal to make Cheney look like a doofus. Now, when he failed in the role, and the movie was actually very good, when he failed in the role, he then took one final attempt at the award show. What are you guys calling this? The Oscars? The Golden Globes. What the hell is it? Does anybody watch that? Is that still like a highly rated show? Or have people finally caught on? Hey, you got a bunch of snobs here that are highly overpaid for reading lines that they didn't even write, wearing clothes that isn't even theirs. Some guy loaned them the suit to get an award chosen by people who will never identify themselves. So in other words, it's a ratings hit, right? Whoever the biggest star is wins the award. I just thought that that was a little bit of a miscalculation by him. Hey, you did do a really good job portraying the vice president. You really looked like him. The story was told the way that the story happened. But you did fail in making him look like the jerk that you set out to do. You just made him look like a guy who really wanted to be involved and wasn't willing to just sit in an office and stare out the window all day. At any rate, I had a point here somewhere in this, and I'm sure it was brilliant, even though I've kind of lost my place, which brings me to my final point, which was the largest call out of the week in many ways, which was Conor McGregor calling out Tenshin Nabagana. And before you guys tell me that's not his name, in the words of The Rock, it does not matter what his name is. It is completely irrelevant. He's tiny. The one thing about it, I watched him and Floyd fight. I couldn't believe how small he was. And Conor called him out. Conor called out a guy off of a loss. Now, the reason that I love this so much is because my inability to interpret this. When you have a guy in Conor McGregor who has never fought anything less than world champions, four world championships in the last meaningful amount of time, years, go after a guy who just got cleaned up in 2 minutes. I just didn't know how to interpret it. I don't know what it means. I do know that there is something there and I would watch it. I don't know why. There was just something about the unexpectedness of the sport's biggest star calling out a guy who got jobbed out in less than 2 minutes in a boxing match. There's something baffling. There's something peculiar. Is Conor giving us a sign? Is Conor giving us a sign of, hey, my time as wanting to be champion is done, but my time at the top is not yet over. And I am going to be looking for main events in sold-out arenas for large paychecks in comical matches until people quit coming into the venue wanting to see that kind of thing. Is that what's happening? Probably not. One interpretation, though. It is baffling. It is confusing why he did it. And I would tune in and watch. And then Tenshin Naga, what his name is, responded to Conor by saying something along the lines of, yeah, I'm in. Just get on a diet. Get on a diet and we'll do it in kickboxing. I thought the get on a diet was relevant because one thing that was very noticeable when this gentleman took on Floyd Mayweather, whether that was a work or not, there was a huge size difference. And Floyd's not a very big guy. You know, just to remind you guys, when Floyd weighed in last officially, it was against Connor, and it was at 147 pounds for a fight that was scheduled at 153 pounds, which tells you that a fully hydrated Floyd Mayweather is only 147 pounds. And he towered over this other guy. So the other guy must have felt that somewhere in there to make the very first demand that he had of Connor, get on a diet. I'm not fighting 150-pounders. I'm not fighting 155-pounders. He also said that he would do it in kickboxing. I believe Connor said he would do it in mixed martial arts. Look, on the level of absurdness and the unlikelihood that this ever happens, why am I talking about it? Well, look, maybe Connor knows something that the rest of us don't. Connor's been surprising people with things for a very long time now. I'm going to go 145. I'm going to sell out an arena. I'm going to be a main event my third time in the company. Oh, now I'm going to go be world champion. Oh, now I'm going to switch weights and be world champion. Now I'm going to switch sports and beat up your greatest ever world champion. Who knows what he's nuts. Maybe this is what he's going to do. Maybe he's looking to go to Japan and do some kind of an exhibition with Tenshin. Maybe. I could sit here and tell you how unlikely it is. I could tell you even that I hope that it doesn't happen, and I would rather see him in there with the mix of the Khabibs and the Tony Fergs and the Dustin Poiriers getting in the trilogy fight with Diaz. But maybe he knows something that we don't. I don't know. Let's take a second to give a big shout out to our friends over at TrueCar. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer on your car in the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, or do a few sit-ups. You can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone or even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You get to ask them some questions. You'll need to answer some questions, so there'll be no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or your trade-in for your new ride. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer is not available in all areas. Meanwhile, my week has been interrupted by a doofus named Tito Ortiz. And I'm sitting at home and I'm minding my own business. And I got to put up with Tito, right? And Tito's always going to be a hard one for me, because I whipped Tito, made Tito tap on television, let the hold go. He denied tapping. Fight continues. Tito comes out with his hand raised, and then I got to live with it. And losing to Tito is a very tough spot. Many people are not good losers. Most people are good winners. Tito is the worst winner. He will rub your nose in it like the puppy that missed the paper. And it's a really hard spot that he knows he shouldn't be in. Tito knows what happened. I know when I see Tito, I know the respect that he shows me. I know that he does not come across the room and look me in the eye or do anything like that. I get it. I get the whole thing and I appreciate it. I'm still jealous he won. And I would like that match back. And Tito needs me. I don't need Tito. I have a lot of things to do. I have a moral obligation that I am fulfilling, which involves whipping a lot of guys' ass who still need their asses kicked. I would just like to spread that to Tito. Tito, on the other hand, does not have a contract. When I start talking about Tito, people at Bellator start looking around going, hey, how about you call out somebody on the roster, not call out some guy that tried to harm our business by jumping in a rival promotion. Just because that promotion humiliated itself and flopped, the intent was still there. Tito had a very bad intent in mind. He tried to go into business for himself. He tried to use the power and the fame and notoriety that we gave him and then turn the gun on everybody else. Just because he's as smart as a box of rocks and it failed miserably, as any analyst could have told you ahead of time, doesn't mean that he's still got a seat at this table and is welcome to come home. I get that. And Tito does need me. And I don't need him. But I would be lying if I said anything other than I want him. I made him tap. I pinned him in college wrestling. I am not done with Tito Ortiz. And now I'm putting up with tweets that are clearly not written by him. They are written and read like a female would write them. So whether he's got a friend or he turned it over to the girlfriend, I really don't know. They don't catch on and they're embarrassing. I send a message to Tito, 5, 10, 15,000 people grab it. In the world of social media, that's a huge success. And 140 characters to be able to reach that many people and have that many likes and loves and retweets and mentions is a very big success. When Tito says something, you could hear a rat piss on cotton, which also annoys me. When I'm going to you, Tito, and I am the industry's biggest draw, and I get to anoint somebody to be in the driver's seat with me, which will headline the show. I have never been less than a co-main event since 2008. You are on an island by yourself because you put yourself there because you thought Golden Boy was real. You need me. The good news for you is I'm here. I'm not here to save you like a life raft. I'm here to put you in the boat and then poke holes in it and watch you sink. But either way, you need me. Until Friday, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Attention podcast fans, the doctor is in. Join celebrity addiction expert Dr. Drew Pinsky as he takes your calls and talks all things health, sex, relationships, and drug addiction.
I love doing it. It's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick. It's a privilege to be able to spend that time really getting in deep.
Check out the Dr. Drew podcast every Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.